Welcome to our monthly meeting of the Humanist Union of Madison. Our speaker today is Susan Hagstrom, talking about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's annual convention in Madison. Is that in October, was it?
Yes. Yes. And same difference between keynote speakers and the ones that I've been going to. And this is actually one of the reasons I was going to. Andrew Seidel was basically speaking to advertise his new book. And he's a very good speaker.
He actually works for the FFRF, right?
Yeah, he's a lawyer for the FFRF, but he's been sort of graduating into what I would call publicity for the stance of the cause and stuff like that. So among other things, during his talk, they announced that they had a donor who basically brought this book and gave it to every single congressperson. So that if they did care to argue the points about the Christian nationalism that too many Republican congressmen do swallow, hook, line, and sinker, they would have every possible argument in existence.
What's the title?
This book really covers all the reasons why you should not believe in anything that says this country was founded on Christian principles and all that sort of
stuff. So the founding myth
stuff.
By Christian nationalism is un-American.
Yeah.
It's
a really good book. I'm rereading it. I'm still on chapter 4 again. There's so much data and everything else that he puts in the book that it was really interesting to hear him talk about it.
So when was this published?
This is a very recent book. I have a list of several of the books that, conventions are often places where you advertise your new book or whatever. But in terms of the keynote speakers, it would be Rachel Laser, currently the director of the American United for Separation of Church and State. And another reason why I really wanted to go hear the talk, because she's relatively new. I think she started either this year or the year 2018 as director of Americans United, AU. I don't say it all the time. But I wanted to get a grasp. I read what Americans United sends out, but I wanted to get a grasp of what she was kind of like in person. And she gave... I did one more. Alice again, she did one of the more interesting sort of talks. Keeping my notes here. She started off with some sort of personal history. Her father is actually what you would call a Jewish atheist, so he does attend church, a Jewish church, but he declares himself an atheist. And then she mentioned that businesses are still, there are businesses that still refuse to serve atheists, and there's apparently a 10-point climb in the polls on businesses saying they refuse to serve atheists from, 4 years ago? Just 4-year difference? Well, you can figure out why.
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Trump basically outing all the stuff, and Trump is
minions.
So what's the word? Minions are have been putting out executive orders right, left, and forward to be able to let anybody who doesn't want to serve, whether it's LGBT or atheist or whatever, not serve them. Mostly in the medical profession for that thing, but it's growing and people are beginning to do it. And one of the reasons that these people have concerns that she listed, 2014, white Christians are no longer in the majority in America, according to her. There's a rise of all the nuns. And the estimation is that in 2046, the majority of America will be either black or brown. And of course, this is Trump, Make America Great Again, for white Christians.
Means sort of behavior. White again.
Yeah.
So she started then talking about techniques to sort of combat this stuff. And let's see, she was suggesting that basically to follow the technique of the gay marriage. And as pointed out that it basically within one generation, the attitude about gay marriage had changed from no to who cares. So if you could basically do the same techniques, you know, have your atheists and agnostics come out to somebody who isn't their friend or is likely to, you know, react badly or not badly at all. You know, if you're doing it to somebody who knows you already, it's not really advertising the cause, so to speak. And that the people who came out, you know, as gay and wanted to have gay marriage, they did it to people who, you know, weren't surprised on it, but if they learn it. And then she was basically suggesting a technique of, she called it go for the jugular, and I have no idea what she meant by that, but she further elucidated and sort of was suggesting things like pointing out that atheists are as moral as religious people, and that based on the techniques of the gay marriage, that you shouldn't say atheists are more moral than religious people, although personally I
we're a little biased, I think.
Well, I've had discussions with a bunch of religious people where other people sort of explained to me that it's sort of a flight or fright response, so I come off as, you know, more into the forgiving than the religious people, and that's just weird for me. But based on the sort of gay marriage routine, if you say that you're more than something, that it turns the people off more than if you just basically point out that it's an equal schmeekle sort of situation.
So I'm the same as you.
Yeah.
Even though I have some basic different beliefs.
Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty good talk on her part, you know, and she included issues where, you know, Trump is really pointing out, and his fellow colleagues who, you know, what was one of the phrases, I had to say, forever in glory of God or something like that. That's one of Trump's stating about religion. And it was a very nice talk. And the other one, I don't know if he's a keynote speaker, but Herman Mehta showed up. He was actually there for to receive one of the awards for giving a secular convocation at a political situation, but instead he was one of the other talkers to sort of point out that within politics it's improving, but there's a whole lot of basic issues, and we're still, although we apparently have improved in the forthcoming years, Bernie Sanders' socialism is lower on the list of who you would vote for if you were, no, I gotta get that word. What's the word? We've removed from the bottom of the list of who you would vote for.
Or not vote for.
Or not vote for if you heard they were an atheist. So he lists the three cases of known ones that he's talked to. Let's see, did I write down the names?
At least they're still number one, right?
No. Socialists have beaten them in 2016.
Really?
58% wouldn't vote for a socialist, given all else. And we moved up to 54%. So we sort of, I mean...
Pro or con? I mean, 54% that people would vote, or people.
No, 43% who wouldn't vote for anybody.
Wouldn't vote for anybody who was an atheist.
But that's still bloody high compared to like man, woman, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, and let's say the three people politicians he mentioned: Kay Hagan. He showed a video of the opposing team's commercial when she attended a fundraiser held at an atheist. She wasn't an atheist. She just attended a fundraiser held at an atheist home.
And that was enough.
That was enough to...
And that was enough for the opposing team to come out with this.
To make an ad
for it. Whole big advertisement that he showed, showing...
She actually shook hands with an atheist.
Yeah. And then it sort of ends with, who is he going to be responsible to answer to, you know, sort of question like that. And then Pete Stark, the person who finally kicked him out of office, and it was a fellow Democrat, also used his, he just declared himself as a humanist, he didn't declare himself as an atheist, but he also got sort of attacked that way, and the Democrat who kicked him out of office used his vote against saying that the national motto would be "In God We Trust."
Oh, God.
There's only a few of the senators and Republicans voted against it, and apparently he got sort of socked by that.
Wow. Well,
it's interesting this Swalwell fellow defends, you know, secularism and that sort of stuff now, but he did use it as a technique. So you gotta be watch for that. And then he also pointed out that Kristen Sinema, when she wasn't running for politicians, declared herself as an atheist and a bisexual. And the minute she started running for politics...
After she won the primary.
She stopped declaring herself as either a bisexual or a atheist. And now she, at the most, uses humanism or undefined. But she doesn't really respond that well for it. And then he sort of ended his talk with, I think many people have seen it, a Nebraskan politician, state politician, called Megan Hunt, who actually listed herself as an atheist. So this is his positive note. She listed herself as an atheist, but she didn't talk about it. She spent all the time talking about the issues with the voters.
Well, you shouldn't be talking about it.
And I sort of thought back to our own Tammy Baldwin, who, you know, runs openly as a lesbian, but because she talks about the issues to the voters, she keeps getting reelected. Mm-hmm. So I sort of think, you know, Rachel Lazer may have a point with using that sort of stuff. Okay.
You said Rachel Glazer, is that her name?
Rachel Lazer.
Laser, oh,
Laser.
Oh, just like the laser beam.
Yeah,
okay.
I wonder what the
We heard, I
thought
I
heard that
Glazer, there was somebody else that I know. Okay. No relation.
She said, Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
I do want to mention, for anybody who has access to the web, they had this, they have entertainment sessions for Friday nights and Saturday nights, and one of this was the people who run satire, What's the Perfect Christian stuff. So it's called Betty Bowers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've seen some of
that. I have seen.
And
she's very impressive.
They showed, among other things, they showed this absolutely hilarious clip of what traditional marriage is, religiously. So she basically then goes and covers every case of traditional marriage, you know, between marrying your sister, marrying several concubines, as having the help, you know, as a fellow marriage, and, you know, so she ends up with everything plus the kitchen sink that you can marry, and then she ends up with, but marriage is not with a man and a man, and by that time you're about ready to giggle your head off.
Yeah. She doesn't, I mean, I assume it's an actress, she doesn't...
Oh, yes.
She does just a great job, so she's just, I mean, she's, you know, if you just see a short clip of her, you assume she's an evangelical, you know. Listen to the content,
and
it's awesome.
Yeah, the actual author and filmer is a fellow called Andrew Bradley, and he got together with his actress, what is her name? Devin Green, yeah, there we go. And they started putting together these, and apparently they're really a success.
Yeah.
Basically webcasts that they put on. And they invited them as the sort of entertainment.
Oh, they were actually there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, awesome.
And she showed several of her videos, and sort of they did a skit But the one that really hit me was that traditional marriage. That was so funny. Okay. Let's see. Other people. It was interesting. They have, FFRF has these traditional scholarship awards that they give to students. And this year, I don't think I've seen it in other conventions, but this year they invited two of them to speak. And one of each sex at different times during the convention. It was very interesting to notice the sort of different ways the two people sort of approached. They talked about how they sort of sat down to write the essay. They have to write an essay saying, in this case, why it's more important to rely on yourself than any sort of God image or basically prayer, you know.
So
you
give a topic.
Yes. And the woman, the girl, she was about 18. She's in her first year of college now.
17, according to the website.
Oh, yeah. She was really impressive. She's basically, it was very easy for her apparently to write it because she could think of all sorts of examples. She actually had in her fifth grade one of those god-awful teachers who introduced herself by spouting 20 minutes of religious crap at the students. Apparently,
in a public school, or was it a...
Public school. Oh. She, the teacher then went around to praise everybody who had a name that was a religious name. And I would say her name is Aline.
Yeah.
Her name was Aline, and her ethnicity, I wouldn't place it totally, but it wasn't white Christian. And she pretty much was an atheist for a long time. And she even had the situation where a lot of the speakers were talking about, so she was a living example, shall we say, of where you say you're an atheist and say, and the person says back to you, but I thought you were good, or something equivalent to that. And in eighth grade, she sort of had that situation, and she was rather surprised because apparently she had edited the guy's paper for one of his religious papers that he had to write, so maybe, who knows what the guy thought, but that was sort of ridiculous. So she found it very easy to write that, whereas the young man, who apparently had a horrible time getting here because he was supposed to get here Saturday, Friday morning, and he ended up getting here like late Saturday afternoon. Must have been a really interesting travel. He had sort of the opposite routine, and he found it very hard to sort of write down his feelings on paper, because they were very difficult to define and all that sort of thing. So it was rather interesting to see the two differences in the, you know, case.
Did the young man say that he had come to these conclusions much later than the girl?
Yes.
So they hadn't had a chance to simmer around and solidify like they had for her?
Yeah. She was not very solidified. He was more of a, and by the way, you can read their essays if you get the FFRF newsletter. He was far more of a getting into the doubts and the questions and stuff like that, and trying to understand the sort of behavior. That was really, really, really interesting talk. I will mention there, there were three things that I did not get to see. What was it? The film that they showed off by Jeremiah Kamara. They've been putting on these films by him, documentaries. His first one is on Netflix, apparently. That is the Contradiction, A Question of Faith documentary. It is actually on Netflix. He had this new one, Holy Hierarchy, at the convention, but it was at 10 o'clock at night, and with my arthritis, I didn't feel like staying up and that late. So I missed that, and I also missed, who was it? Oh yes, the Center for North Reproductive Rights director, Nancy Northrop. Another, I had something else that I had to do at that time. So I am going to they had four people advertising books. I mentioned The Founding Myth, which I bought here, which is very good. They had the author and journalist Jeff Charlotte, whose Books the Family is also a very good book on Christianity infiltrating politics.
Well, that's the one about the Washington, D.C. group, right?
Yeah. And he did mention and showed a clip of, apparently it is now a documentary on Netflix too. Well, I see documentaries. Netflix seems to be a
Call
good
the family,
idea.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll watch. Worse than a horror movie.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I have that with any Naomi Klein book. It's just like, why read horror? Just read her books. Okay. Then one of the last speakers was Amber Scorer, and she was sort of advertising a book, Leaving the Witness. Coincidentally, when I said there was the book festival on the same weekend, she was also at the book festival.
She got a twofer.
Yeah,
but in her case, and it was one of those situations, she used to be a Jehovah's Witness. And Jehovah's Witnesses is sort of like, that Utah group.
Mormons.
In which if you leave the church, nobody talks to you.
Right.
Oh, like the Amish.
Yeah.
Oh, the Amish, right.
The Amish is another one that does that. Mm-hmm. However, they did an interesting thing. She grew up totally faithful in the church, but when she sort of graduated, she went on the sort of trip to...
commission?
Proselytize. Yeah, there we go, proselytize. But they sent her to Japan.
A mission.
They sent her to Japan, which really startled me because I don't see that as a hotbed of place to proselytize for Jehovah's Witness, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And apparently it went the other way for her. Instead of, because, oh, was it China that she went to?
They deconverted her?
Because she wasn't able to, you know, go in and say, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, that sort of stuff. She had to sort of go in undercover and try to convince these people. And apparently, between going undercover and being in this country, which was very different from the United States, where she was grew up, they deconverted her. She sort of switched around. And then she had the basic horror of losing her child, so she is now, and talking about speeches were strict. And on an up note, she is now coordinating the efforts to do the Paid Family Leave Act. So she was actually rather impressive. And you know, you always have sympathy for these characters who make a definitive decision and then have to lose all their family and friends and stuff.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
It takes an awful lot of... Oh, the other one was Jacob McGee. He was the other one. Jeff Charlotte was an interesting speaker. And the other book was Godless Citizens by two professors. I use the word professors. And they were very interesting speakers. They have been researching for years. So the... first book they wrote, let me see if I can find the title of the first book. The Godless Constitution, a Moral Defense of the Secular State. Apparently is out of publication now, but according to their introducer, the convention has this technique where they introduce people and then they the people talk. And apparently the Godless Constitution first book is so almost like a Bible for the lawyers at FFRF.
Mm-hmm.
But they discuss this book and the sort of changes sort of almost in their philosophy since they wrote the first book. And they did have changes in their philosophy because in their first book they sort of, you got to hit the hard points and that sort of stuff. And nowadays they're more into what FFR does and, you know, with the philosophy of You gotta even hit the very small stuff or you'll miss eventually going that. I intend to get the book. Let's see, I mentioned the film and the video of Betty Bowers and the Holy Hierarchy. And then Herman Mehta is, his website is friendlyatheist.com. I don't know if anybody's looked at that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have? Okay. And let's see. Oh, the rest of the speakers. Saturday was a, how shall I phrase this? Last time I went in Madison, they did this, sort of the same thing. They Saturday afternoon, early morning, they have what I would call a humanism is international, but don't declare yourself an atheist overseas. Sort of sessions. So, big speaker was, let me see, can I pronounce his name right? Abhishek Patel, and he was introduced by the wife, actually, she didn't actually say she married him, so I'm not entirely certain. So, significant other of Abhijit Roy, who was the blogger who was shot down in the streets, one of the bloggers, who was shot down in the streets by extremist Hindus. And she was very powerful speaker. And among other things, she showed a clip of a cartoon that somebody had put up of the actual murder, where she was basically still standing up but dripping with blood, and her significant other was on the floor, and I was like, oh, that sort of thing.
That would be hard.
But it sounds like practically everybody who works on the system is dedicated, but they basically have a death sentence still on them just for working in India. And if you read anything about the new head of India, it's not going to make it easy on them. And that was a really powerful speaker. And then Anthony Pinn, who's a professor of religion and atheist agnostic, he applauded humanists for what they've done so far, but he does feel that he was the social networking talk. They always have sort of a social networking talk that humanists, atheists, agnostics, whatever you have, they have very good conventions and they have very good, you know, newsletters and pamphlets and stuff like that. But when it comes up to anything, that's a social networking. He basically stated that he felt that blacks, he's a black too, blacks go to black churches more for social networking than for any of the religious content, which was in contradiction to the filmmaker, but it was a very interesting point on his part. And he pretty much stated that even if the humanism as it is now were to, you know, blossom full-fledged into the political and everything force, it would still, well, he brought up Trayvon Martin and Sandra Bland as two people who were killed by police. And those effects would still be around even if humanism were to blossom, because they don't have the connection of the social networking going on. Which is an interesting point. I don't know if I totally agreed with it, but humanist, atheist, and Gnostic through and through, so I suppose I would support it.
So he was saying that the African-American community doesn't have a strong social networking connection, or
outside of the church.
Or the,
outside
with
of the
each
church.
Other, but.
So they have it with each other, but not.
Or to be more precise, they feel like the only place they can get it is the church. And if you discuss it with some humanists who don't go to any groups or anything like that, even with the sort of white population, they do feel that it's needed. Some sort of, you know, social setup that's around. So I could grasp that sort of talk, but as I said, the person who's been doing the documentary sort of has completely opposite point of view, that because of his documentaries are pretty much at the point that because of the effects of the slavery and people getting the strength from the slavery through the church. They still have that sort of feeling that the church gives them the strength to uphold themselves and stuff like that, so they're not willing to swallow. Anything else? So you had two opposing points of view, both of which are legitimate, and so it's very hard to sort of say which it is. But then they sort of pointed up a sort of counterpoint to Anthony Pym was... Oh, crap, what was her name? It's a lovely name. Why can't I think of it? Ah, Mandisa Thomas.
Oh, sure.
And she was...
She's amazing.
She was the complete opposite of the sort of negativity about the black things, because mm-hmm. she was trying to basically discuss everything she'd been doing to get black women atheists to sort of congregate and be able to talk to each other.
She's got that organization that's...
But...
Oh, do you know what the organization means?
Not listed in here.
Or if you just got the name, like...
President of Black Nonbelievers.
One more time?
President of Black Nonbelievers.
Black
Nonbelievers. And... Okay, I have a black friend who's basically... discovered that she's an atheist on her own, and she's in Oklahoma, it's kind of she posts a fair amount on Facebook, and she's incredibly strong, but I'm just like, I think she would like to have some sort of network like that.
Yeah, there was a woman who was at General Assembly, there was an older African-American woman from Washington, D.C., I think it was, who came to her talk and said that as a child, she decided she didn't believe in God or anything. You know, she became an atheist. And she mentioned it to somebody in her family and said, don't say anything because that will just destroy Mama. So she stayed in the closet all those years until finally her mother died. And so then she came out as an atheist, and her family was just appalled. Well, then she found the Unitarian Church in DC and got some affirmation and support but to hear this woman who was, I don't know, probably in her 70s at least at that time, or maybe even older, and what she had gone through, because it was just absolutely unacceptable not to be a part of the church in her community. I mean, it just was absolutely the worst thing. So then, like I say, she found the Unitarian Church, and that was her salvation. But she was thrilled with that talk.
Yeah, the filmmaker that they had who deals with the black issues with churches, who was sort of the opposite, he will do some cheap shots where he gets some blacks to basically show that they have nothing about the Bible or the religion or something, but they just go to the church mm-hmm. and they're willing to mouth off anything. Sort of like, who's that comedian who showed off how stupid people are on television?
Things down
pretty much. But Mandisa Thomas talked for a short while. She didn't talk too long, but she sort of covered her organization and how it runs, and you have to be serious about it, because she does kick people out if they're not really serious about the issue. She pointed that out too. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? Oh, well, I can't remember at the moment. So they had the sort of two opposing examples on the other hand, and this nice positive example of this lady at the end of it. And then you had the really sort of downsetting of the Hindu people, and you're just like, oh, well, poor people. Yeah. Having to suffer that, I mean.
With Roy's wife, her partner.
Yeah, well. And they still, I mean, the organization is called MANS, I forget exactly what that stands for right now, but the organization is still running strong. But even so, as I say, most of them are under death threats by these Hindu extremists. But it's not too weird. I mean, if we go to Saudi Arabia and announce we're an atheist, we'd probably get executed.
Were you present when the speaker from India
did the shaft through his tongue thing?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I forgot about that. He decided to start his presentation with an example of Hindu techniques, so he took a shaft and put it down through his tongue.
Not really, no. Was this to show the superstition that is rampant in India?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Because when he was done, in fact, I've got a video of it here from the website. He holds up the two different ones, the solid one and the one with the loop that went around his tongue.
Yeah, no, he was actually quite an interesting speaker. And the issues with that thing are really good. Let's see. Well, any questions?
Website has a number of the speakers on video, and some of them it says no video will be available, and Jeff Charlotte was unfortunately one of those where there's no video. So
I think he and Sarah Vowell, author, anybody read her stuff? I don't know. Both of them were, shy? Well, basically they said no videos. For the rest of them, I don't quite know why they didn't get any videos of them.
So did Jeff Charlotte give an update on political, Christian nationalism since he wrote The Family? Talk about what's going on in Washington these days?
A bit of an update. Advertising his new documentary on Netflix as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nothing outstanding as far as I remember.
Where's the convention next year?
Did they say it?
Just curious.
Not here.
No, it won't be in Madison. I think there was three locations, both on the east side of the country, which is sort of the way they go about it, because the last one was in San Francisco, and that's the west side of the country, so
mm-hmm.
Madison's the middle, and they go boom, 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 yes.
Do they still do their...
I think Boston.
They used to do like a mid-year thing in Alabama, right?
Really?
Yeah, I forget the name of the... It's just a smaller, it's not really a national thing. I was just wondering if that was still going on. I haven't been to that. I thought it was fascinating that they go right to the heart of the Bible Belt.
Well, that's where it's needed.
Well, FFRF has a bunch of
chapters.
Yeah.
Chapters. Yeah, that's the word they use. So, you can see that Barker's gone to see a chapter or two on a regular basis.
Well, and when you go, I think some of the biggest UU churches are down in the South because people need that kind of refuge,
right.
Whereas we don't need a refuge here.
Yeah, but yeah, we have three UU churches.
yeah, right. But
just from the population. But.
Right, and there's lots of UUs running around who don't go any of the three.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be ostracized
by suddenly
declaring that you're a UU.
Right.
Let alone an atheist or an agnostic.
Well, even in the north part of the country, if you start arguing about something, you will end up getting ostracized.
Mm-hmm. Depends
Witness
on the group you're in.
Well, there was that time when I was skiing in Montana, and I got on the ski lift with a couple of other people, and they say, "Oh, where are you from?" Madison, Wisconsin. "Oh, that's where that horrible place is for the FFRF.
Oh,
have you ever heard of that? Boy, I just throw them right off the chairlift." I'm thinking, okay, we won't mention I won't mention that I'm an atheist sitting in the middle of this chairlift. Right in the middle of the air, right, ready to be pushed up.
I'm a member of that organization. Yeah.
Right, right. Even here, remember when Evers decides to call it a holiday tree this year, basically letting everybody conclude it. The Republicans turn around and start trying to write a bill to declare it a Christmas tree instead of a holiday tree.
Yeah.
Issue comes up all the time.
Yeah. Right. So glad they think that's such an important issue to spend their time on.
But
yes,
not just South versus North.
Because
there are several cases of Northern students who basically have been ostracized by trying to get rid of, you know, Ten Commandments.
Oh, I believe
that. That sort of thing.
Well, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, the FFRF, when you bring that up, they have this added, they have this reputation of being, you know, just abrasive, but if you've ever met Annie, Laurie, and Dan, they're just the opposite. They're just super nice people.
Well, even if you read the letters from the lawyers, they're very polite and defiant.
Yeah.
I mean, they are definitely letters from lawyers, but,
yeah, but
there's
I've
nothing
got,
impolite about
I've got a friend who's a hardcore atheist, and she's always complaining about how FFRF is too... They go too far.
Oh, they go too far.
What are you talking about? We have this discussion from time to time.
It's like the two people, two professors who showed up. They were basically saying, you know, when they wrote their first book back in 1996, they also were of the opinion that, you know, sweating the small stuff is sweating the small stuff and not getting the large stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now, nowadays, they are completely the opposite way around.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of say, get to that small stuff. And if you think about it, historically speaking, the rise of the religious people that helped Trump get into power was because they started with the small stuff and the school boards and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and they started building up to get people to do that.
Yeah.
And now there's, because of Trump in power, there's way too many far right judges for my
preference.
Safe.
Alec, the long
right?
game.
Isn't ALEC is the organization that worked on that?
American
yeah.
Legislative Exchange Council.
Yeah.
Very,
mm-hmm.
very effective at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they worked up their plan in the 90s, I think, and then gradually have implemented. But like I say, they've definitely done a good job of playing the long game.
Yep.
But I really think it is the reason they get that sort of abrasive attitude, even with some atheists, is the attitude of basically sweating the small stuff. And to point out why it's a really good idea to sweat off the small stuff, Rachel Lazer mentioned it in her talk. There's that Blandenberg Cross case where the Supreme Court justices said that because it's history, they can keep it up in a public land. It's already being used among other things, her example was in Pennsylvania, they managed to ban atheists from giving convocations based on the fact that historically, atheists did not do this. So, and apparently they successfully banned that because of that. So the idea of sweating the small stuff, because if you let them get away with one thing,
right.
There's this tradition in law where... if it's a tradition, then, you know, as a steward, you could see, a union steward, I could see it. They have this policy where if you can show that 50 other of your fellow employees got this technique and this one person didn't, then you're basically biasing against the one individual who didn't get the technique. And you get too much of that going on. So I personally approve of what FFRF does.
I do have a little bit of hope there because of the what's the name of the devil worshiping group? They're not really devil worshippers, but
no?
The satanic
temple.
Satanic temple.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little hope for them, more hope for them because, you know, they're kind of technically not atheists. They have their religion, and if they can get in there and have a statue of Beelzebub and give an invocation to a government, hopefully that'll make them realize how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Well, that's that's the sort of issue Dan Parker talks about whenever you can get away with it, being refused by the state senate to give an invocation on the federal level. And that's really sort of a topic for them because why?
Well, the few times I was in the gallery at the Wisconsin legislature was when Michael Schuller was giving the invocation. And
oh, yeah.
I was one of the few people who didn't stand up. For the invocation. You were saying don't stand up when the minister gives it, like. But he was a minister to everybody else.
Yeah, well, the reason for groups like FFRF and AU right now is this whole tradition thing. If we've done it this way, we have to do it this way, they go all the way around. Mm-hmm. And from her talk and what she's reading, Rachel Laser is really working hard on that sort of issue. I think she finds it appalling the way she was talking at the convention. Yeah. However, I say, if you haven't seen that Betty Barrow stuff, you have, but I don't know if you guys have.
I haven't seen that one. Is that on Netflix? Or?
There's a series. She's got a series of them. I think it's mostly YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
Yes, it's on YouTube. Oh, I didn't say that. Yeah. And it's just tape in Betty Bowers. The actual actress is Devon Green, but
look it up. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, and they're all very real short little snippets.
And it's under Betty Bowers.
Betty Bowers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, everybody appreciates a good satire.
Yes,
like Mr. Deity, is he still putting things on YouTube?
Oh, I don't know that one. Mr. Deity?
Right, he's playing the part of God, and someone is asking him questions. Well, what about murder God? And
there's a Facebook persona called that's literally called God that does something similar to that.
Uh-huh.
So it's really funny when he does. He did this thing, it was just amazing. Sorry, this is a little off topic, but he frequently gets crank mail like FFRF does. And, you know, people say, oh, you're going to hell, and blah, 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 and you're not the real God. And he somehow managed, I assume it's a he, I don't even know, maybe it's a woman, but he did this thing of somebody said, prove your real God. Who's my boyfriend? And so he, you know, does a basic search and finds out her boyfriend's name and puts it in there. She's like, wait, what? And then there's like three things that he does, you know, in here just with basic Google searches. And she's convinced that he's actually her.
Well, thank you very much, Susan.
Yeah,
appreciate the program.
Yeah.
This is very interesting.